People first organizations will win in the future of work.
Your only real asset is your people.
We all want purpose-driven work.
HR-led organization is the
future. Sorry, but leaders don't lead empty desks and empty shop floors.
Welcome to the People Strategy Leaders Show. I'm your host, Sri Chalapa, founder and president of Engagedly, and a serial entrepreneur in technology, films, and music. This is where we talk to people leaders, business strategists, and organizational savants about leading in the time of change. What is working, what is not working, and more importantly, what we should be thinking about. Stick around to the end of the show. We will reveal how you can be our next guest. And now, let's engage.
Hello and welcome to People Strategy Leaders Podcast. I am Sri Chalapa, your host. Today, I'm joined with Stephanie Krevens. Stephanie leads a firm focused on designing the workplaces of the future through upskilling plans, succession plans, and strategic execution. She's a trained coach and certified in multiple assessments and methodologies. She's the host of Hot Mess Hotline, a podcast for ambitious leaders who want to drive impactful change. She's the creator of the Change Architecture, which provides a new framework for driving transformation in the 21st century. Well, welcome to the show, Stephanie. It is a pleasure to have you.
Oh my gosh, thank you, Sri. I'm so grateful you would have me on and we can talk about this fun topic.
Yes, since we are in the meeting here, I guess I'll ask, why do most meetings suck?
Oh man. How much time you got? No. I think most of them suck because they have become the default go-to tool for colleagues trying to make decisions together, trying to get information. We have information coming at us at just rapid speeds and no way to make sense of it. And we think that meetings will help us kind of either make a decision or hear the right voices. And especially since the pandemics, where the amount of hours we're spending in meetings has just skyrocketed, we have defaulted to using meetings for everything related to our coworkers, connection, information, decision-making, lack of decision-making. And so we're trying to do way too much in one kind of format without identifying what in the heck this meeting is actually for.
So I know that I am guilty of running a lot of meetings myself, usually because I'm working remote and I really need information on what's going on in the organization. You know, as a CEO, I need to have my pulse in what's going on. Obviously, I can get a lot of that information from different systems or emails. So I do obviously have meetings with my team members and sometimes people who report to my team members just to get the pulse of what's going on the ground. And I think it's obviously gotten worse because of the pandemic. People have gotten more remote. People are doing much more virtual conferences. Now employees are all over the country and all over the globe. We've got employees in multiple countries now. We still need to have a lot of meetings. I guess, is there a way to cut down on the meetings? And then the second question is, if we can or cannot, even the ones we do have, what are some of the things we should do to have a better meeting?
Yeah, so I think in terms of number of meetings, part of the reason it feels overwhelming, I feel like, is we can no longer just stop by somebody's desk and ask a quick question. We have to say, oh, hey, can we meet at 2 o'clock to make sure we sync up so I can ask you this question? And so then it feels like our entire day just gets booked with obligations when 4 years ago, that would have just been your colleague swinging by saying, hey, where did you save that report? Or, hey, when are you getting that data to me? And so that whole cadence has changed, as well as, we still crave, because we're still humans, as far as we know, and not robots, we still crave connection, right? And so we feel like we have to make plans for connection versus, I think, just go old school, pick up your phone and call somebody and say, hey, man, like, I'm grabbing a cup of coffee. Like, I haven't chatted with you in a while. Can we just, download what's going on versus let's book a meeting at 2 o'clock so we can informally connect? Like, that feels like junk. So we've got that going on. I think we've got people want to insist that Zoom meetings can replace in-person connection. Virtual environments will never replace human in-person connection. And I'm a person, I run virtual meetings, I run hybrid meetings, I run in-person meetings and trainings and coaching. And I will bet my life savings that virtual connecting will never replace being in the same room together, especially when it comes to brainstorming and innovation. So we've got all of that noise, right? And then when it comes to like, how do I get information that is not gathered in a meeting? I think that goes to our management cadence that we use inside of our organization. And in, you know, this is strategic execution at its finest to say, what are our annual goals? What are our quarterly goals? And then the framework I use is then if you have your quarterly goals, you then break those down by month with your team. You do 2-week sprints, you do weekly priorities, you do daily stand-ups or some version of daily stand-up using chat or, you know, the chat function on Teams or Slack or whatever. And then that way you have a communication cadence built into your business systems that allows you to get the right information at the right time. Of course, we're always going to need ad hoc conversations for things, but I feel like as managers, as leaders, if we know that this cadence is set, that helps us create consistency. So there's that piece of it. And then in my team internally and with our clients, what we teach is like meetings should not be status updates, you know, like a weekly one-on-one. My team was defaulting to, let me tell you everything that I did last week and what I'm going to do this week. And I'm like, one, your task list is not you accomplishing impactful goals. I want to know how are you accomplishing impactful goals? So every Friday, my teammates send me a Loom of what's on their to-do list, what they completed, what they accomplished, and what is upcoming. So then that way, when we get to the meeting, it's about connection and it's about decision-making. And so using those async communication processes for status updates versus the very expensive meeting time is a much better use of technology to then say, when we're together face-to-face, either virtually or in person, we're making the best use of that time. Because meetings are the most expensive time in our company, right? You've got all these people sitting there earning money, not talking, not participating, not knowing what the heck is going on. Why are we using our money that way?
Yeah,
befuddling to me.
Absolutely. I think one of the problems is because there's not effective communication asynchronously, you end up having a meeting.
One of
the things that I try to advocate, and I think every company should do, and I know Jeff Bezos from his podcast is big on some of these things, is getting timely responses to questions over email or chat or whatever you use, you know? It's like, for example, we have an unwritten rule that internal email should be responded within one business day.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's remote, you can't afford to lose days, especially when you have people in different countries where you can lose 2 days if you don't get a response back in time. And then you end up having to do a call to understand where that is or the status of that. Yeah. Status in communication on transparency over email or systems or Excel or whatever that you're using to show the status of where things are, will avoid those meetings. So I'm 100% on board that meetings should not be necessarily be used for status updates. I mean, there can be some component of status updates, so you can have a discussion about it, but that can be the primary goal where we are doing status updates, going around the room and everybody's reading the numbers and everybody's reading their task list and everybody's reading their you know, list of projects they're working on, and it should be more solving problems. So that being said, what are some good reasons to have a meeting?
Oh man, this might seem counter to the topic of effective meetings, but a really great reason to have a meeting is brainstorming. When you say, this is a brainstorming meeting, this is the focus, this is the research you need to do in advance, and these are the decisions that we will make coming out of this meeting, getting people together to hear ideas from a variety of perspectives is always a fantastic use of time, because you know that creative energy is gonna build on each other and, or build on itself, and you're gonna get even better answers than if you tried to solve that on your own. Other great uses of meetings, and this kind of ties into your point about you're always going to have an element of status update in your conversations. Celebrate the good stuff and identify what's not working, right? Like you don't need to talk about the stuff in the middle, but make sure that you are taking time to celebrate what is working. That is a really great use of a small portion of a meeting. I think the other, the main reason we should be having meetings, which is like 90% of all meetings, should be decision-making meetings. Decision-making meetings should only have 3 to 5 people in them. We have somehow started working with a lot of cultures. And I think this is part of like where the American culture in the workplace has evolved, is like, there's a lot of consensus that workplaces are trying to have, right? Like everybody needs to agree before we move forward on something. And I contend that consensus is the fastest way to get nothing done. And so really what you want is collaboration, right? You want just enough perspectives to be helpful. You want just enough voices or departments or pieces of strategy to be connected, to be effective, but 3 to 5 people in a room making the decision on how to move forward, that is all you need. Like that is enough collaboration to not water down the decision and ensure that decisions are being made so that something can move forward and action plans can be created. So those are the top ones. And then of course, you know, doing a debrief on a project, you know, blameless autopsy, however you want to, or postmortem, you know, whatever words you want to use there, debriefing what went well, what didn't, what can we do better next time, is also a really great use of meeting time, because it's another version of creativity and it allows a company to be proactive in the future, saving even more precious time and resources.
Yeah, I'm just taking notes here. So, you know, you reminded me of two things. I was listening to Jeff Bezos' podcast on Lex Fridman, which came out, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's a long podcast. It's a great podcast if you're going on long walks or a long run. And the two things that you said, which aligned with that, was a pizza, one pizza rule or two pizza rule. I'm not
sure. That's right. Yeah. One pizza team or two pizza team. Yep.
Yeah. It's so that you shouldn't have more people than the amount of pizzas,
yes,
one or two pizzas that can be consumed. Yep. And the second thing he talked about is consensus building, right? He talks about that it's okay to, it's not necessarily required that you build a consensus. You should have a vigorous debate, but then if you disagree, but you disagree and commit. So disagree and commit was a really good takeaway that I got from that podcast, which was a really good way of doing it. I used to have the saying in my team meetings, and I would sometimes be castigated for it, is I said, this is not a democracy. We are not taking votes. You know, we are trying to hear all the opinions, and then ultimately, you know, I will make a decision. In most cases, if I'm in the room, it's, you know, it's my decision if it directly impacts something that I'm responsible for, and you just want to live with it. And some people disagree, some people agree, and at that point, you just got to disagree and commit. So, you know, obviously, I have been in many meetings where I get invited. This is my past life. I get invited in a meeting. And I remember this one instance where I was in a meeting. This was for a big telco. I will not name the telco, but it's one of the biggest telcos in the country. I was sitting on it was the 21st floor of this building downtown. And I was only 25, 26 years old. I wasn't that, you know, I was fairly young. But we were going around the meeting having these discussions. And it was a big, long boardroom style table with about 15, 16 people in the room, at least, probably more. And all I could think about was visualizing how I could just fly out of my chair, jump through the window and fly away, you know? And it was the whole time I was thinking, I wish I could just transport myself and just jump out of this window and fly, because I'm looking at this glass window on the 22nd floor of downtown St. Louis. So a lot of people are in those meetings today, right? So if you get invited to a meeting like that and you are not one of the power people in the room, what do you do? What is the right etiquette? What is the approach you should take? Or maybe you do nothing. I mean, what's your recommendation there?
Yeah, so I am always a fan of people demonstrating leadership regardless of what their title is. And when there are meetings, when you don't know why in the heck fire you're there, you don't know what in the heck fire they're talking about, right? You're lost and you're just thinking, like, we're just talking just to talk. And there are certainly cultures where those are power plays, and those are things that, like, this is how business is done around here. And that's kind of a different scenario. But if this is a meeting where it's like legit, like, no, we're trying to accomplish something. This isn't just for this vice president to hear himself talk, because that's a different kind of power move that we can't address in this podcast. But it's legit, like, these are close to my peers. This is my manager and my other manager. And you know that if you were to speak up, you could make a difference and people would appreciate it. What I find is folks need some scripting to be graceful about it, because on the inside, many of us are just sitting there like cussing, like going, what, like, what am I, like, I don't know what to do with this. So we get really frustrated, right? And so being very graceful and gentle is the approach to take with, and it's just very simple of, hey, could I ask a quick question? What are we here to accomplish today? You know, I would love to make sure we name an outcome for our time together to make sure that this is a really valuable use of our time. Because I know none of us wants to waste our time. What are we here to accomplish? And it creates a pause. It creates a focus. Let's say the outcome is clear, but people are just, you know, just kind of talking and just kind of brainstorming. Just kind of summarizing what you've heard. You know, I feel like we've, you know, talked about numerous different approaches to solve this problem, but I'm not sure I'm clear on what problem we're trying to solve for. Could we back up and really identify what problem we're solving for before we keep brainstorming? So just being really curious, really non-judgmental, really non-blamey, right? Like, hey, Mr. Manager, like, you called this meeting and this is a waste of time. Like, don't, like, why are we even here? That's for your inside voice. The outside voice needs to kind of neutralize the situation and work to bring everybody together by asking questions, by being non-judgmental, by being unassuming. And or just saying, you know, if someone's talking for a really long time, which is also something that happens in meetings, just be like, hey, Sheree, can I ask you a quick question? Everyone loves to hear their own name, right? You're going to get their attention. And it's just a really gentle way to interrupt people. And you're not being rude by interrupting them. You're simply asking them to pause and take a breath so that the rest of the room can participate.
Yeah, we've been in those meetings where somebody just sucks all the oxygen out. Yeah. And just go on and on. they like to hear themselves talk.
Yep.
And you're like, we are on agenda item number 2, and we are already 2/3 of meeting time gone because this person kept talking and repeating the same ideas in different words.
Yep.
You know, and because they can't put the words together correctly or whatever the reason is.
Yep.
And I've seen those people who will say the same thing again and again, like I'm doing right now, for example. So what do you do in that situation, especially? You know, do you don't want to necessarily cut that person off and make them feel, you know, like they were put down in the meeting, right? What do you recommend? Like, what's the right approach to say, okay, why don't you try to be concise and precise, you know?
Yeah, so I find it feels less intrusive to interrupt when that person is taking a breath. So hopefully that person at some point, while they're repeating the same message over and over, actually has to inhale. And so that's your entry point into the conversation. But again, it's always gentle to be like, hey, Sheree, I have something I'd like to add here. Or, hey, Sheree, what I hear you saying is, did I get that right? And then you're kind of taking the baton of the meeting and putting yourself in the facilitator role to make sure all more voices are heard. So, and I do, I picture it as like grabbing the baton, right? Like I'm holding the baton now as the facilitator. I took it from that person who is just talking ad nauseum. And so then commit to being a facilitator by saying, you know, Sarah over on the product team also is impacted by this problem. Sarah, I would love to hear your perspective on this. And so then you're just actively passing the conversation around. So then Sarah shares and you're like, man, that's a great point. You know, Matt in marketing, Matt, could you, you know, fill us in on what you think the problem is that we're trying to solve for? And so then you are actively facilitating by bringing more voices and participation. And I usually start, the extroverts are always going to extrovert. They're going to share. You don't have to worry about them. I will move around the room from the folks that are kind of ambiverts, you know, like sometimes they share, sometimes they don't early on in the meeting. And then I move to the introverts, who are usually the last people to talk, but have the most profound things to say, because you want to give them time to process. But you still want to give them time to share as well, but you just don't want to put them on the spot because they're the ones most likely to shut down. Extroverts, you put them on the spot. They're like, thank you for the spotlight. Let me go. But it's our introverts that we definitely want to hear from, because they have some wonderful ideas.
Yeah, they do. And especially, you know, I've noticed people who are either young to the role or young in general sometimes, and they don't know how corporate America functions. So they're trying to figure that out.
Yep.
There are people who, you know, I think this, statistically speaking, women generally speak less in meetings than men, from what I've read from the research. I don't know how, if it's still true or not, but that I read that some time ago. So obviously you want to make sure all the voices are being heard, especially the diverse voices in the room are being heard as well. And I guess that is an important one. Obviously, it's a little bit harder if you are the junior person in the room trying to do this, you know, because then you could be like, you're trying to, you know, jump rank by doing some of these things. And especially if you, let's say you're an analyst and then you're asking a VP to basically questioning that person in front of like five other people, it can be a little dicey. So you kind of have to be, I guess, a little bit careful. One approach that I think could help is maybe after the meeting, you raise the issue with the meeting facilitator saying, hey, maybe we could have done this instead of this, because I felt like the VP in the room sucked all the oxygen, spoke for 60% of the time. And basically, I don't think we are having an effective meeting. So that's probably another after follow-up that we potentially could do, especially if you're in a very hierarchical culture that might hurt you. So basically, let's actually now say, before you go into a meeting like that, let's say you have an inkling, this meeting is going to be useless for me. I'm going to be wasting my time, or the fact that I have nothing to contribute. So even if I might be wasting my time from my perspective, but I don't think anybody else is going to benefit from me being in the meeting. What's the best way to decline? And I've seen people who would neither accept or decline. They just sit there, the meeting. So you don't even know if they're showing up or not showing up. So I'm like, are you showing up? Are you like that? Are you like a Schrodinger's cat? Are you there or not there? You know?
Yes.
So talk to me about those two scenarios, you know?
Yes. Now that you say that, I've seen that too. I didn't know that's what that was about. So again, I think it's an opportunity to be graceful, and it's an opportunity to frame the messaging from the perspective of the facilitator's needs versus your own, right? Like, the message is not, I don't want to waste my time, because that sounds selfish and self-centered. But at the same time, you're thinking, I don't want to waste my time. And in some cultures where there aren't great managers who are good at sharing information, these folks are invited because the manager isn't doing their job in getting the information back out of that meeting to the people that they need to. That's a management problem. That's not a meeting problem, right? And in other cultures, folks act like there's a lot talked about and there's decisions that are made, but nothing ever comes of meetings. And so a lot of people feel stuck with work because they're not in the meeting itself. Yet once you're in it, you're like, what is happening here? Like, nothing is happening. So I think the opportunity is to email or ask the facilitator, whoever called it, to say, you know, I want to make sure that I can contribute as best as possible. What are we trying to accomplish with this meeting? Is there any pre-work that needs to be done? What are we anticipating are the decisions that will come out of it? And based on that answer, then making a decision on whether or not to participate. And if the issue is the meeting, you know, the meetings are ineffective, that's opting out of the meeting. If the issue is the managers aren't communicating out of a meeting as they should, that's asking the manager to be more effective in their role, which is then managing up, which is sharing feedback to say, you know, when you attend these meetings and I'm not receiving the decisions being made out of this meeting, it slows down my work because I don't have access to the right information. can we agree that me using my time to attend that meeting is not the best use of my time when I could be investing in X, Y, and Z? Could I ask for your commitment in sharing those notes with me so I can be as effective as possible for our department? So always framing it in kind of the company's best interest, the team's best interest first before you frame it in your own self-interest.
Yeah, no, that's a great one too. And what I've seen in some cases is somebody needs something from the engineering group or the marketing group. They will invite everybody in the marketing group or everybody in the engineering group.
Yes.
And nobody's asking them, okay, what do you specifically need so I can put the right person in the room
instead of
pulling in the director, the manager, and five other analysts in the room, and you're wasting everybody's time because this one person could have sufficed.
Yes.
So I see that a lot. Now, if I'm a new manager and I have been, now it's my job to run team meetings, because we got a team meeting, we huddle, maybe we do scrum meetings, agile meetings. If you're in software, if you're in a different group, you might do some that types of meeting. Where can I go? And like, what is the best way to go get started with having good meetings? Where do I learn? How do I get started with this?
Yeah. So that podcast you mentioned with Jeff Bezos, he has some terrific practices around running meetings. Like the way he thinks about meetings is genius, in my opinion. So researching how he's done some of those. There's a lot of great resources on performance management and how to use effective meetings for performance management, like one-on-ones, like quarterly check-ins, those kinds of things. And I don't mean this to be self-serving, but and purposefully to solve this problem, I created a masterclass called Lead Kick-Ass Meetings. Because this is such an issue and an expensive issue, I kind of combined all of the best resources into one course so that people, especially managers, can learn how to manage meetings more effectively. So again, I'm not trying to be selfish, but there's a reason I created this resource, is because there's so many bad, expensive meetings that educates folks on the different decision-making styles that you can choose. Because in American work culture, we tend to rely on one, which is who has the biggest title in the room, they get to decide. Or the second one is democracy, right? We think either the person with the biggest title or democracy is how we make decisions. There's actually five different ways to make decisions in an organization without relying on those two. And so, that's a great resource. Patrick Lencioni has a book called Death by Meeting, which is another tried and true classic in this area. Those are probably my top resources. I think bottom line is we can make meetings much more intuitive, meaning sit down and just say, what am I trying to accomplish? It's not, what am I trying to accomplish in this meeting? It's, what am I trying to accomplish? And what's the best way of going about that? And thinking just very intentionally, what do I need to gather people for? And I believe it's Spotify or it's Stripe, forgive me, but they made the news. They have a meeting calculator embedded in their meeting invite software. And so, and I have one as well in my masterclass, because I was like, people need visibility into these numbers. If you do the math of what that meeting is costing your organization, and if it's not delivering four times the value of that salary number, that comp number, you shouldn't be having that meeting. Like, plain and simple, that is the price to entry of that meeting. Is every meeting needs to deliver four times the value of the cost that it's creating. And if it's not doing that, you shouldn't be having it.
Yeah, yeah. My least favorite is status update meeting, where somebody just reads the status update they already the day before. I'm like, come to the meeting, read the status update meeting before the meeting. Or like Jeff Bezos says, you sit in the meeting and you spend the first 10 minutes reading it on your own, in silence. And then you have a discussion about the problems or the issues you see or the challenges that are coming out of that, and not be nodding your head, leading the status update, because four other people read the status update already. So they're just sitting through reading the same bullet points that they've already read. And it's not Harry Potter that you like to read more than once. So, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you being on this podcast. Thank you so much for, talking about, how to have effective meetings. Where can somebody learn more about you and the work you do?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, folks want to check us out and our approach. It's called thechangearchitects.com. And our podcast, The Hot Mess Hotline, is linked there. You know, we interview successful IT and IT executives and CEOs, and they share hot messes with us. Sri, maybe we need to have you on that one. And, you know, we just break down for other ambitious leaders how to solve more complex problems. Not the like polished, oh, this is how I made it. This was really hard and I went through it and then bam, here I am. It's no, what are processes and questions that you can use to solve complex and emotional and political and weird icky issues that come up in our workplace? So changearchitects.com, and you can get to the podcast Hot Mess Hotline as well. We have the blog and the newsletter and the masterclasses as resources for everybody.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Stephanie. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Sri.
Sri Chalapa here. Thank you so much for listening to the People Strategy Leaders Podcast. If you are a successful leader or a people strategist who would like to be on this program, please visit engagedly.com/People Strategy Leaders Podcast. If you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media? If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag People Strategy Leaders. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter at Sri Chalapa. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time. And thank you to Patrick Ramsey, sound engineer at Kalinga Production Studios, for recording and mixing this show.